due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Oh, see? I just can't stand.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
It's about time you did something right.
Damn!
Yeah!
Acknowledge me!
Bitch! Shut up!
You get nothing!
Hey, go fuck yourself. Get that guy out of here.
You are dealing with the best in the world! Go fuck yourself!
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another installment of the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight I must issue a round of apologies. I will start with my resident co-host, Stepwood Josh Henniger.
Hi, Nikki. Where were you last week?
Running away from peanut butter zombies and doinks.
Doinks. Doinks everywhere.
Yes. Hopefully it has been contained somewhere in Blacklick.
Who knows? I don't know.
Hopefully it has not found its way even off of the continent, but we can check on the other side of the planet. Bad News Beeman, good evening, sir.
Tony, calm down. It's going to be perfectly fine. As long as you give him a title match within the next 3 months, he'll be happy. Yep. Oh, sorry, I've got to go. We've got to do a show. No, just give him a fucking title match in 3 months. He'll be fine. Yes, LA is low. Yes. All right. Bye-bye. Sorry, Nikki, what you were saying?
No, Mox needs his vacation. Don't put him back in the title picture. At least I hope that's not him.
I was talking about his latest addition, Mr. Andrade. But yes, we were having a good conversation about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Tony likes his shiny new toys in his toy box. So... another busy
It's not really a shiny new toy because he left WWE, went to AEW, left WWE, and came back to AEW again. So realistically, it's the donation pile at the at St. Vinny's.
Yeah, if you want shiny new toy, go look at El Clone.
Who that?
It's actually. There was supposed to be a bigger storyline with Hologram facing off against his evil doppelganger, but Hologram got injured.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see AEW Tribalist saying that AEW stole anything from WWE here.
No. But yeah.
Did Kara or anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Sin Cara and Dark Sin Cara. Kane and fake Kane, Taker and under Faker. Nah. WWE steals from themselves. AEW, well.
They're original.
Nope. Wow.
Sorry, stop that.
No, you're fine.
But it is nice to see El Clon because he is a Mexican star also known as Ares, A-R-E-Z, not A-R-E-S. Like certain Swiss wrestlers.
Or a video game movie.
Yes. His real name is Jonathan Gonzalez, born in 91, has been wrestling for 18 years.
Mm.
And
any relation to that Mexican, what was that Mexican wrestler's name? Hector Gonzalez or no. Something along those lines?
No, that was Hector Garza. You're thinking of
Garza.
Hector Garza is related to Los Garza's, I believe, uncle or something along those lines with Humberto and Angel. But Ares, though, is a Mexican wrestler who's been going for a long while, has done some wrestling in the United States, has won various tag championships and trios championships. biggest one in the States before he showed up here is winning the Defy Tag Team Championship with El Gringo Loco.
Okay.
But, okay. But just with this, like good on El Clon for his participation with the Don Callis family. But am I the only one who thinks it's absolutely stupid that this man Andrade was upset because he wasn't getting much screen time and then he got put into a random tag team and yet he's quite happy going back to being with Don Callis family?
Yeah.
Like, dude, your whole point of leaving WWE was that you weren't getting opportunities, yet you're quite happy being a background character in, like, an already established stable. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just look forward to when the entire story comes out of what the hell happened. What the hell was going on?
Yeah.
Apparently, it's ironic that as soon as he joined AEW, more news about that came out. Apparently, it was multiple wellness violations.
Gee, I wonder how.
Yeah, it was multiple wellness violations, and then he did not contact Triple H when Triple H kept trying to contact him. So he went radio silent for a month to the point where they just said, okay, here's your release and bye-bye.
Yep. But yeah, and considering how Andrade looked, yeah, I wonder how he got those wellness violations. Jesus Louise.
Gotta be a little less obvious there, senor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, like, look, I joked about it at the start, but it is a legitimate problem here. So, if this man is not featured or gets a certain title, like, certain title matches or main events or pay-per-view matches or whatever within a certain amount of time, is he going to do the same thing? Is he going to dip out on Tony, not answer Tony's phone calls and be like, because at this point the man's just burning bridges.
Yeah, exactly,
because Hunter's not going to pick up the phone if Andrade calls him back once he figures out that, oh my god, I'm just another toy in the toy box.
Yep.
Honestly,
at this point, Andrade is going to wind up in Mexican independence within the next 3 to 5 years. What was that?
He can get some tips from El Patron.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think he can be over as El Patron, to be honest with you. and that's messed up to say, because we all thought after the whole Paige and Alberto stuff came out that he was dead to rights. He was going to be toilet water at that point, but he's popular as hell in Mexico, to the point where as soon as he left a company, he got their most popular baby face at the time booed out of the building.
Yeah.
it's like damn. But look, the problem is that and I agree with, because I've seen a lot of like TikTokers and that have done their own thesis about this stuff, and I agree with some of them. Andrade has burnt bridges with a lot of people now, because there was rumors going around that him and Phoenix were going to win the tag team titles. Like they were getting set up to win the tag team titles. Mm-hmm. And there was also news going around that he was going to play a prominent part in the AAA partnership, and they were going to feature him more on AAA. Mm-hmm. So he's So it's the fact that he just couldn't wait to get these opportunities and felt like he deserved them ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things of like biting your nose to spite your face.
Yeah.
Just blows, it blows my mind.
Mm-hmm. But
well,
that's
speaking
Andrade
of it,
for you.
Yeah, I honestly believe this. Had these situations had not played a part, like wellness violations and Andrade's impatience, he would most likely be in a feud right now for the Mega Championship with either Dominic Mysterio or Penta. And they would be blowing. They would be blowing up AAA at the moment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But his loss.
Yep.
His loss. El Grande Americano's game. Sorry, I'm just.
All of the Americanos game.
El Americanos. Yes.
Los Americanos, and I found out who the third one is.
We knew that one of them was, obviously, it's Ludwig Kaiser, Pete Dunne, and who else?
Tyler Bate.
Whoa, okay.
And it makes me sad that I think that for Dunne to pick up as an Americano, he cut his hair.
Yes, he certainly did.
Damn it. I've seen a recent picture of him. He's got a fucking bowl cut. It looks awful.
It legit looks like a brown version of Neville's haircut, is what it realistically is.
Oof. The Park haircut? Gnarly.
Yeah, the Park haircut. Sorry, Park. Yes, not Neville. But look, it's bad if Tyler's had to do that as well, because he had the long blonde hair, so he most likely had to cut it to go in with his mask situation.
Yeah.
So he doesn't, but Tyler didn't look that bad with the short haircut, because I remember him when he was when we first saw him in NXT UK.
Mm-hmm.
True. Yeah. Essentially, if he'd had some mustache wax, he would have looked like they should have taken his pictures in black and white.
He could have been part of the Vaude villains.
Yes.
Wow.
And he'd have been more reliable.
Oh, damn. To be fair, one of them was reliable. I'm still missing. Her as well.
Aiden English
was brilliant. They could have had him do like a whole like orchestra thing by himself, and I would have found that shit entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But his wife also had a lot of talent as well, and I'm missing her in a ring.
Who is he married to?
Diaz, Raquel Diaz.
Yes.
Well, Shaw Guerrero. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, she was great in the ring. Like she could have been as good as her dad, I reckon, but just the business unfortunately got to her.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, Josh, this is what happens when you let us wing. This is what happens when you let us wing shit.
Yeah,
this is what happens when you let us wing stuff.
Well, speaking of business, Monday night we had somebody was going to get the business when our tribal chief decided to return.
Yes.
in the name of helping his cousins, or at least one of them. Did anybody find it suspicious that he did not acknowledge Jimmy?
I mean, it isn't suspicious, it's just not surprising.
Jimmy has always been the afterthought in the bloodline. Roman's trying to groom Jay to be the next in line, like he has tried to do for so many years. But now that Jay's starting to come away around to Roman's old way of thinking, even Jimmy's like, "Dude, you're not being yourself." And Jay's like, "Exactly, that's the point. My old self lost the World Heavyweight Championship. New me needs that World Heavyweight title."
Good luck prying it out of Seth's hands, though.
Yeah.
That's not going to be probably too far off the mark to do, especially with everything, like, as Seth's openly admitted that he's like AJ. He's only got a short time left in the ring, and he'll probably be hanging it up soon. So the ball is going to start rolling, especially around WrestleMania time.
Yep.
To start getting the belt off Seth, or start building up that next star, which will most likely be either Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed, or potentially even Dominic Mysterio, depending on which way they want to go.
And with Dominic starting to get face pops, I wonder how much longer we're going to have the Judgment Day.
To be honest, and this is being brutally honest, the Judgment Day has been dead for a while now. It's treading water at this point.
I understand where you're coming from.
I feel like Judgment Day is pulling Finn back, Dom back, and Raquel back. Raquel is finally listening to Kevin Nash and playing the bigger wrestler. Like playing the giant woman that she is. And it's showing on TV. Like, she's looked a hell of a lot better in the ring these past couple of weeks than she has in recent months. Finn, when he came back for Homecoming, to his old music, not to the Def Jam or whatever the hell he's called.
Def Rebel.
Def Rebel bullcrap. That he got, that he's been given, got the loudest face pop of the night. And Dom is Dom getting the win over Rusev just this last week, doing lying, cheating, and stealing. He got applause for it.
Well, yeah, because he's starting to get into that tweener phase where he can do all this. He can do all the stuff that he was doing as Dirty Dom, but it's slowly going to evolve into Dominic Guerrero.
Yeah, because he tried to hit Rusev with the belt. He tried to make it seem like Rusev hit him with a belt. He got caught throwing the belt to Rusev, so he failed at playing possum. Ref's like, "What the hell are you doing?" And he's like, he hit me with it. Dude, I saw you throw the belt to him.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. It's like, God damn it, that didn't work. So then he's like, okay, gonna try number two out of Uncle Eddie's playbook. Put the referee into the corner, let Rusev get behind me, low blow him, and then roll up and hold the tights. And that worked.
Yay.
Yep.
Let's see, what else happened on Raw that needs our attention?
Let's see.
Psycho Bailey is good Bailey.
Yeah.
Jekyll and Hyde Bailey is a good Bailey, yes.
Let's see now. Looks like Kyrie got, or not Kyrie, but Io got smurfed this time.
Yes. And I'm surprised there wasn't equal amounts of fan art.
Mm-hmm.
they people are probably worried about being cancelled if they tried it on on EO. I don't know.
But and poor Kyrie stuck in the middle of that mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Cody and Seth had another brilliant promo.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
go ahead.
I already said this last week, but you can put these two in the ring with each other, whether it be wrestling or promo-wise. These guys are this generation's Rock and Austin. Seth playing the part of Austin, because he can come out and stomp the shit out of someone and people would still cheer him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Cody is obviously a man of the people, so.
I could be snide and say it's more like Rock and Triple H, but you're right.
Oh, true, Seth, yeah, actually. I can go with that comparison.
Well, just because, you know, because Seth is this generation's Triple H. He's done pretty much everything that Triple H has done. He's walked out of Mania as a heel. He's had his own factions. His version of the Hunter Hearst Horseman, the Vision. I won't say the Shield. And the Authority, kinda. So Dad's got to be proud of him.
Yeah, and the Vision's basically Evolution 2.0.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've also joked that it was Shield 2.0 since he had. He has a Pacific Islander in Reed. He has a legacy wrestler in Breaker. And, well, yeah. No, you're right. It's could be Evolution or Horseman, or, you know, take your pick.
Yeah, it's Evolution 2.0 with Uncle Paul taking the position of Ric Flair being the brains of the business. So.
Mm-hmm.
Bronzy blue chipper in Randy Orton, and Reed's the muscle with Batista.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Seth and Cody, I could listen to them just tear each other apart verbally for 20 minutes and be thoroughly entertained. Neither one of them has to take a swing at each other. And both of them have all the ammo in the world, because Seth is probably still stinging a little bit from the fact that Cody came back. You know, Cody came back from AEW as a bigger star than ever, and is doing stuff in a fraction of the time it took Seth, who stayed and did his thing.
Actually, Seth struck out twice on that. Like, first he had Cody, then he had Punk, and both of them come back and did things in shorter amount of times than freaking Seth did. And he's like, what the hell?
So, yeah, he's, you know, he's just got the words in a slightly different order so that he's a heel.
Yep.
Actually, I think that's why we saw him be a bit more, it sounded like he was a bit more demented this past week, because he was like zoned out and talking to himself going, I have to beat him. I have to beat him.
Which carried over to SmackDown at the end of the episode. Seth, you know, crashed the party. And as they were leaving, he gets into that zone again. And Uncle Paul's like, you don't have to do this. Don't go. It's a trap. Don't go. I gotta beat him. Seth, listen to your oracle. Do not go back in that ring. If you go back, you will get your ass whipped. Yeah. I do'd it. Seth is not a very good listener.
Yeah, no, Seth's never really been a good listener. When someone tells him don't do something, he still does it.
Oh, absolutely. That's been his character for most of the time. I mean, it's very rare that, yeah, go ahead and tell him to do something. He'll laugh at you in that evil cackle that he has developed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, Josh, where do you see this catalyzing? Because obviously we're going to Crown Jewel Perth, but I don't think this is going to be the end of the story.
No, I think it's going to be heading all the way to Survivor Series in November. That is the next pay-per-view, right? After Crown Jewel?
After Crown Jewel, yes.
Or is it some Blood Money show? Let me take a look.
No, I don't think
Crown Jewel is really...
I think they're not doing Saudi again until the Rumble.
Yeah.
The only other pay-per-view I can think of off the top of my head is the NXT thing.
Halloween Havoc, yeah.
No, I was talking about, damn it, it's still Invasion to me.
Oh, Showdown,
no,
yes.
This is an Invasion. Halloween Havoc is something else entirely.
I understand that, but I'm saying that Invasion / what are
Showdown.
They calling it now?
Yeah.
Showdown is next week.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that doesn't count as a pay-per-view because they're doing it as part of TV.
Yes, they're doing it as part of TV, so it doesn't count. And even then, I think I know why they got blowback pretty easily. Because that was the same day, 3 years ago now, that Hamas invaded that music festival in Israel, killed and kidnapped, and then Israel turned it around and now is wholesale slaughtering the Palestinians.
Yeah, which is what I brought up in the chat, that some government official brought that up and said, well, that was the same day that this invasion happened, and that it would be in poor taste to call a pay-per-view invasion.
Which, at least on that date.
At least on that date, yes.
They did Over the Limit on the anniversary of Owen Hart's death. I expect this from WWE. Personally, I just think it's too much of it's a coincidence, and it is not directly aimed at what's going on in Israel.
Yeah.
It's just...
terrible
timing. It's freaking woke. Okay, a war started on my birthday. Should I change my birthday?
I mean, probably, but that's like me and all that.
I'm just saying, it's, you know, the stuff with
it's not so much that, it's more of a it's Raw situation. As in, it's still ongoing Raw. If it was something like, say, you with, you know, your birthday being the same date as a war, that might not be such an issue. But it is still something that is currently ongoing.
I get it. I just, you know, I understand it. I don't have to like it.
But speaking of war, not to do a segue here off of a war situation. But with NXT, we saw the culmination of what's coming up for now Showdown, and our teams have been decided for war on each side.
And the do you have the teams?
I've got the teams here in front of me. Yay. Yes. So the teams as they stand are with the men's team, it's going to be the team of the newly crowned NXT men's champion Ricky Saints. Co-captaining with the TNA heavyweight champion, which I'll get into that in a second, Trick Williams. And they'll be teaming up with Miles Bourne, who won a match to get into that position. And I'm trying to remember the third, sorry.
Boy Bouncy!
Oh, yes, Javon Evans. Yes, that's right, because that made sense for who they picked for the men's team.
Yes. So, just a note, Javon Evans did show up on SmackDown, but we'll get there.
Yes, and he was a bouncy boy with somebody else. And the NXT men's captain is Mike Santana, and he picked Moose, Frankie Kazarian, and another man who can be considered bouncy, the X Division champion, Leon Slater.
Yes. And then now, over on the women's side.
The women's side was... Oh, sorry, you go, Josh.
Yeah, go ahead.
The women's side was very interesting. Because JC Jane got into it with the newly crowned TNA Women's Champion Kalani Jordan, and basically called her a two-timing traitor. to which Kalani said something that was actually perfect, and I 100% agree with. She is the TNA Women's Champion. She's a TNA Women's Champion, so she is going to defend TNA, even if that means going up against NXT, which is perfect. Thank you. That is how a champion should talk. If doesn't matter whether you're an NXT superstar or a TNA superstar, if you are the champion of that brand, you back your brand. Otherwise, why the fuck are you the champion? Sorry.
Understood.
So JC Jane picked her team, so it will be her leading along with Fallon Henley, Lola Vice, and Sol Ruka.
Hold it.
Oh, Sorry, not Fallon Henley, sorry. It's JC Jane, Jada Parker, Sol Ruka, and Lola Vice.
There we go.
And then Kalani picked her team. And IWC, you are brutal assholes at times, but I didn't catch this until I had to rewind it. Kalani picked the TNA World Tag Team Champions, the Inspiration. However, she said TNA World Tag Team Champions before they fucking won the titles.
Which means they filmed it beforehand. Oops.
Correct. Yeah. So people got a spoiler with that.
Yes.
And then Kalani nearly went into back into NXT situation and was about to introduce Jakara Jackson, but correctly corrected herself and said Mad Sayidi or whatever her name is.
Mara Sade. Yeah.
Mara Sade. So it'll be Kalani Jordan with a bunch of former WWE people versus Team NXT.
Yep.
Which some people got pissed about. Because they're like, okay, like, how can you do WWE NXT versus TNA, but the TNA team is made up of majority former WWE people when we've got so many local TNA women like Rosemary or others who are not featured here. As far as I'm aware, Rosemary is injured.
I believe. Yeah, that sounds about right. I think Rosemary is still injured.
Mm-hmm.
So she's out. Jordan Grace, I could potentially understand being a TNA alumni, if they wanted to put her on Team TNA. But then again, people would then bring up the argument. But she's on a. Everyone knows she's on an NXT contract now.
Yeah. Now, and thank you for bringing that up. I'm going to segue right here. We have the teams together, and then we have an interesting side thing with Jordan Grace and Joe Hendry.
Yes.
They're like, well, neither side really trusts us. How in the, you know, is there anything that we're going to be able to do? Or do we just need to get out of the way? Actually, give them ref shirts.
That would be interesting.
I dare you to give them referee shirts. Although if Joe Hendry was reffing the men's showdown match, he'd be the most over person in the ring most of the time.
Yep, except for when Javon shows up.
Exactly. Jordan Grace as a ref would actually be kind of fun.
Yes.
Because if they don't follow her rules, then she'll start throwing them around.
Yeah, and I'm just going over the NXT women's list at the moment, and they went with the best team. I'm sorry to say it, but they did. They went with the best team. There are three women who you could have put on there potentially to actually rep TNA. But people would have been asking questions. One, the biggest one, obviously, Tessa Blanchard.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Tessa Blanchard, if you put her on the team, people on the internet are going to blow up and be like, well, hang on, isn't she a racist? You've got Tasha Steelz. Tasha Steelz, well-known TNA women's wrestler. But she wouldn't have been as known to the WWE fandom. So people would have been like, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Rosemary, like I said, she's out injured and she has featured on WWE TV before. The rest of them are the only other one was Marcia Slamovich, but she's going through that DV situation at the moment, so people would have been up in arms about that.
There is one other that I'm a little surprised didn't get the call up.
Crawford?
Yes, Victoria Crawford. The former Alicia Fox.
Ooh, I didn't even know she was wrestling.
Yep, she came back.
Yeah, she's still wrestling. I agree with you, Josh. I would have probably put her ahead of Saeed.
Yes.
To wrestle. Considering people would have gone Coco Bananas for her being back on their TV screens.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I stated in the chat, I think if you're gonna put Saeed in the match, honestly, if you're gonna put Saeed in the match, Lash Legend should have been on the other side on Team NXT. Mm-hmm. That for me would have made sense. Like, that for me would have made sense, because it's like you have two former Meta 4 members going head to head against each other.
That would have made sense.
Make it a bit make it a bit more personal. Throughout the weeks heading up to this event, but meh. This is what I'm saying, Paul, give me a call. I can help you out with storylines here. Just saying. But anyways.
But yeah, I'm actually looking forward to this. I am putting aside time for it. I am asking my DVR to record it just in case I do something stupid and forget.
Or sleep.
That's always a possibility. Mm-hmm. What else have we got in here?
I think we just head to SmackDown, because I don't think there was much else on NXT that was of ahead, except for the Hardy Boys still priming their match against Dark State. Oh, actually, no, there was a big one in NXT I forgot about. Mustafa Ali made his return to NXT.
Oh, shame on me. I popped when I saw him. I have missed him terribly.
Yeah, and he announced that Ethan's next opponent will be him for his NXT North American title, because he said, this is going to be 7 years in the making for a title that I never lost.
And that one I'm getting extra popcorn for.
Yeah. Don't blame you.
Let's see. SmackDown, what else? What other nonsense do we have on SmackDown? We have a lot of nonsense on SmackDown.
Yeah.
To speak about my hometown girl for... Oh, not my hometown girl, because she... But my home country girl for a second. Sol Ruka and Zarya took down... Chelsea Green and Alba Fire, so they're probably getting set for a tag team match against Charlotte and Alexa soon for the tag titles.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, and Aleister Black and Damian Priest are finally going to get their hands on each other. I wish they were doing this on Crown Jewel, but I understand.
I've already got enough quality matches. I'm pissed on missing out on for Crown Jewel.
So yeah, my two favorite Demon Hunters are getting together next Friday SmackDown for a Last Man Standing match.
Well, that's gonna be that should be a pay per view match. That's highway robbery. That is.
Excuse me, didn't I just say that?
I know, but I didn't realize it was a Last Man Standing match. Like, yes, those two alone are a pay-per-view quality match, but I didn't. But to put a Last Man Standing match on a SmackDown, like, I'm sorry, but that seems like WWE 2K25 GM booking right there. Sorry, but.
I'm just saying.
Oh, I know you're just saying. But I'll tell you what I'm just saying. Who the hell told Sami Zayn to, like, now make the Blue Thunderbomb his friggin' finisher?
That's a good question, because the Haluva kick was fine.
He hasn't pinned a goddamn person with the Blue Thunderbomb in... So many years, we've seen so many people kick out of it, but now all of a sudden he does this Haluva kick Blue Thunderbomb combo, and it's like, well, we got the pin with the Blue Thunderbomb. It's like, no, dude, you Haluva kicked his head off first. Like, the Blue Thunderbomb was just overkill.
I don't know whose idea that was. That one I don't really answer to. And I'm surprised that if Sammy was asked to change things up, that he would have pushed back on it. Because we are all confused that he switched it up like that.
You're like, geez, man, if you want to change things up, you can always go back to using Carmella's finishing move that you were doing there for a while there with the submission.
Right.
Oh, God.
And while we're between stuff here, I do need to explain where I was last weekend. For those who have been listening to our show all the way back in the late 2000s, you might have remembered me dropping names like Tommy Chill, Dustin Reyes.
Oh, wow.
And James Avery, I forget what his ring name was at the time, but I affectionately known as the Jobber. These gentlemen have done very well for themselves in my absence. Jobber's running a wrestling school out in Blacklick. Mm-hmm. Dustin is got his own setup with Armbar Wrestling. And Tommy Chill, well, he likes to throw this. He likes to throw a wrestling extravaganza in the fall, which for this show was the Night of the Living Doinks. Over the course of the show, at the beginning of the show, somebody had come out to the ring. During a six-man, somebody who dressed up as a doink came out to the ring and bit somebody who spent the rest of the match holding his neck and giggling to himself. Over the course of the night, each wrestler that got bit like this came out in a doink headdress and had a balloon tied to them. So they were going up to random wrestlers and biting them. So by the end of the show, we get into the main event and it turns into a lumber doink match.
Wow.
There's no other way to describe it. There's nothing but doink zombies around the outside of the ring.
Dang.
Match wraps up. The zombie doinks jump into the ring. Wild brawl breaks out. And to defeat the doinks, you have to pop the balloons.
Oh.
So it was an amusing show. This show was so much fun. Yeah. Jobber really knows how to book a show. Dustin Reyes still got it. He's put on a couple of pounds, but he still got it. Tommy Chill is more or less retired, but he still loves what he does.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I did find the entire card on Cage Match. James Avery, you knew him originally better as Carlton Kaz.
That's him. That was the name. Thank you.
Yes, and admittedly, when I look through these names, because I have the entire card in front of me, I recognize exactly two people on the entire card.
Yeah, Dustin and Jobber.
Nope. That's really? Half right. Dustin Reyes and Rod Lee. Because here's a scary thing, and something that you probably don't know. Rod Lee was in my gaming group in the University of Toledo back when I was still back in college.
Oh, wow.
Some of his mutual friends on Facebook, I've known for almost 20 years.
God damn.
Yeah. So he probably knows who I am.
Okay.
Without wrestling, that feels weird.
Well, it felt really good that, you know, Jobber invited me after I touched base with him.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy remembered me. Dustin, it took me a second because I'm used to seeing his skinny ass flying around the ring.
Yeah.
He's a little hefty now. A couple of fans in the crowd recognized me. I was not dressed up.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Jobber was doing a lot of the technical work, playing entrance music. They'd had all the lighting programmed. That way she didn't have to do any of the heavy lifting. But good show, good crowd. I think the only weird thing we had was just after the doors opened, a clock fell off the front of the balcony and landed on some seats.
Not great.
No, I'm just, like I said, I was glad that didn't happen like 45 minutes, an hour later, because then somebody would have gotten brained with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this was I had a really good time, you know, got myself in trouble a little bit. But it was just good meeting people. And if you guys want to know about the peanut butter zombie, he's another big dude. I asked him about it and he said he was one of his earliest shows. They didn't have a name for him.
Mm-hmm.
So this got made up on the spot. And he's like, "That's a t-shirt." I said, "Yes, it is. I will buy that t-shirt if you make one." He was toying with the idea of getting a mask done. I told him that he's got to do one kind of like a Psycho Clown. Just make it gray and cracked and then have the Gene Simmons tongue on it with a little bit of dollop peanut butter on it.
Mm-hmm.
People might mistake the peanut butter for something else, but just a thought.
Yeah.
So, there was a chance that I wasn't going to be here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Our good friend Brandon Toll was in Cincinnati this evening for SmackDown. Probably getting some extra work, but I did not see his face anywhere. So he probably got to hang out and catch up with Jason Ayers, the IPW referee who made it. I think he also knows Angler. He probably knows Angler from a little ways back and Banzai. Dan Angler, the TNA referee. You can get away with everything in a match that he's reffing. Banzai, not so much. Little Nate, forget it. But yeah, I was hoping that I was going to get to sneak down there, but I didn't have no money. And I didn't have a hookup, so. So here I am.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have anything else to cover?
I mean, do we want to cover All Elite Wrestling? Because they just did their pay-per-view last week, and they're setting up slowly, or a week or two ago, and they are setting up for WrestleDream.
I didn't see the show, and the only thing I might know about it, unless this was from a different event, something about a bag of gummy bears.
That was from a different event. This week's episode, the big ones are, we have now the main event set for WrestleDream, which is Heyman Adam Page versus Samoa Joe.
Okay.
Timeless Tony Storm is likely to face Chris Statlander.
Okay.
The main event, this was also 6-year anniversary, just note. They did start up a tag match for WrestleDream with two lesser members of the Don Callis family, Rocky Romero and Trent Barretta, probably, versus Big Boom AJ and a partner of his choice. I fully expect that to be Orange Cassidy.
Okay.
Who returned a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Or last week. Let's see now. And then main event, Chris Statlander and Darby Allin did beat Marina Shafir and Wheeler Yuta. Marina Shafir's feet got introduced to thumbtacks.
Ow. Ow, 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 yeah. Ow, ow, ow. Ow, 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 ow.
I'll put some pep in your step.
Yep, and then, of course, after the match, the Death Riders came in and just dogpiled Darby, choking him out. What a surprise.
Which actually set up another match for WrestleDream.
Yes, but that was, admittedly, it was announced last week, but yeah, this was just continuation on.
Oh, so they already announced that it was going to be an I Quit match last week.
Yes.
Ah, fair enough.
But yeah, they essentially dogpiled Darby and choked him out to end the show. Essentially, faces win the match, heels won the segment.
Lather, rinse, repeat.
Yep. That's how it's been going for ages.
So I'm not missing anything. Okay.
Yeah. Outside of that, though, yeah, they're going to continue setting up for WrestleDream. Because that's coming up here 2 weeks' time, I believe. And then, of course, next week will be setting up for, or will be here next Friday, setting up for WWE Crown Jewel, if we're going to do pick'ems.
I should be available.
Yeah.
And we're going to have, I volunteer, you know, I would like to suggest a fairly short show.
Yeah.
Because while, you know, Beeman, Mr. Bad News, you're going to be blessed with actually having a pay-per-view that starts at a reasonable hour on your side of the planet.
Yep.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, it isn't just that, but it isn't that unreasonable here in the States. Well, unless you're on the West Coast. If you're on the West Coast, you're waking up early. If you're on the East Coast, 8 a.m., that's not terrible.
No, it's not. It, you know, I could, you know, I want to make a Saturday morning cartoons joke, but I won't. Actually, that's probably how I'll end up watching it. Propped up in bed with a bowl of cereal and the bowl of cereal and some toast and
yeah,
my first round of caffeine. So I think we've got everything.
Yes, I think we actually do. But first, before we start, you know, going, Shane, do you have anything to promote?
No, as always, just if you wish to hear more of my wrestling reviews, you can follow me on TikTok at AussieAcehole, and just. Even though he's probably not going to hear this because I highly doubt Bret Hart listens to our show, but congratulations to his daughter Jade for beating cancer.
Hooray!
Yay! So, on my end then, this week on It Was a Thing on TV, they covered a specific season of Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live season 20. The 94-95 season. A season that was essentially a season of change. Because we were starting to see the old guard of the Golden Era, or the Bad Boys Era, start leaving en masse. And the new people were starting to come in. Tim Meadows, Molly Shannon, and everyone there. They eventually did crop up, and things got better about a year or two later. But yeah, things were still a little rough then. Coming up next time, Saturday Night Live with Howard Cosell. The original Saturday Night Live from 1975. The reason why Saturday Night Live, as we know it today, was originally just called Saturday Night. So you will find out about that and all everything else on itwasathenontv.com. And then also this week on the BS Big Show, week 4 of the NFL season, I should be available for the next episode, which will be covering week 5 next week. So yeah, I look forward to that and talking about how bad the Bengals are and how badly the Lions just crush them on Sunday. I bet Nikki is happy. I have no idea what you're talking about. My dear, you know exactly what we're talking about. You have a good offense. You have a passable defense. If you don't win by 21 or more, I will consider that a failure. Because Dan Campbell the Bengals offense and defense are bottom 5 in the NFL right now. Both of them.
Mm.
Bungles. It's been horrible.
Bungles.
Yeah, they are bungling it all right. So, Nikki, your artist shout-outs?
Yes, one moment, please. I'll start with our Wish She'd Be Here More panelists. Jamie Claudia, who continues to hide in the Has-Been Hotel. She's been a bit under the weather, so I've been trying to keep an ear out for her just to try to cheer her up if I can. Obligatory shout-out to Onuwambashu. Still one of my favorite fan artists out there. Excuse me a second. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Do poke around for her artwork. She does take commissions. She has a card account that you can put in your request for. She's not cheap, but she is very, very good at what she does. Norberto Gaitan, very anime style, relatively inexpensive. Ooh, some of his more recent stuff. He just did recently a really cool pick of Axiom, and another one of Luchasaurus versus Mortos. I don't find him that expensive. I do like his work. And he has a unique thing called Surprise Me. Where you give him who you want and a basic idea of what you want going on. And then you let him do his thing.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, shoot, I thought she had some new artwork up. Oh. Okay, an artist that I don't believe does commissions, EKM, at EKMSoldier22803. Our artwork reminds me of somebody I used to get fan art from, Sinip, based in Korea. Cam recently posted a picture of Demon Balor holding Demonito like a proud papa.
Okay.
What else we got here? Dozer Draws at Little Dozer Baby. Definitely somebody to go to if you want a wholesome vibe, a very pure, soft kind of vibe. A little on the expensive side, but works very well with others. So I can recommend highly. Let's see. If you need anime in your wrestling art, check out Nahil Tajes and Otanad. Otanad posts more on Instagram. Can't find him. Just go to my dear Uncle Paul's Instagram and or Twitter and you'll find most of the comics. Nahualtajes does have a variety of styles, but we'll do wrestling plus anime. He's very inexpensive, very quick turnaround. Somebody else I will recommend highly. And just a quick note out there for any of the Supercard fans out there, we're in the last week of tarot season. I've been able to get most of the cards. The only one I didn't get is the Dominic Mysterio, the Star card, Stardust, just recently dropped. And whatever Visionary card would be in the Major Arcana, I have to do some research, but the Seth Rollins card rocks. I've heard a rumor that they're doing a new set of duality cards that are going to be essentially tag team cards, where they flip them over. One side would say Billy Gunn, and on the other side would be Road Dogg. I won't know for sure for the next couple of weeks, but I saw it on YouTube, so it might be true. I don't think I have too much else, though, because I'm right here. So for Bad News Beeman, for Stat Boy Josh Henniger, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do tune in next Friday night where we do our pick'ems for Crown Jewel, Perth, and hopefully console Mr. Beeman since he cannot go.